see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I mean, it's a two-hour show, and we were filming for, I'd say, I feel like time is lost in Bachelorland. But we were probably filming for, you know, 5 or 6 hours.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Wow. So it had been almost 3 full days without any Bachelor content. I don't know about you, but I was jonesing.
It was just really, like, withdrawal. I just needed to see Chris Harrison's face again, you know, just get that hit.
Yeah, and we did, because last night was the Women Tell All, which is all about Chris Harrison, really, and his two-hour-long struggle to prevent the contestants from talking over each other, which he mostly failed at spectacularly, for 2 hours again.
So today we're going to try to recap what we managed to glean from this Women Tell All with hopefully a little or a lot of behind-the-scenes insight and a very pro-glam mindset from Marieke Mathias. Thanks so much for joining us, Marieke.
Hi, guys.
You are our first contestant from RE season to be on this podcast.
I feel very honored.
We're so desperate for, like, behind the scenes knowledge of this season. Spoiler free, don't worry. But especially the Women Tell All, it seems like we saw probably so little of what happened.
Yeah. Can you set the scene for us a little bit? Like, how long were you guys filming? How many shots of Fireball were taken? Like,
it's a 2-hour show, and we were filming for, I'd say, I feel like time is lost in Bachelorland. But we were probably filming for, like, you know, 5 or 6 hours. It was definitely, from what the producer said, it was definitely a longer taping than others. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's like time is lost. So, I mean, those chairs, I don't know if you guys saw, they didn't have backs, and they were very uncomfortable.
Wait, they don't have backs?
No,
they probably
really
want to make sure that you, like, are sitting up.
Oh, that is,
not.
Yeah. That's my nightmare. Even being in a meeting in an uncomfortable chair for, like, an hour, I start to just be in pain.
Yeah, you know, and then there's, like, you know, you don't want to be slouching. Like, I always slouch. Yeah. And so I was, like, keep, you know, shoulders back and just, like, the whole time. So it felt like more like, you know, like 12 hours. Filming.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, that sounds fun. So were there any big controversies that were discussed that didn't end up making it to air?
I mean, there were some things that went on with me and the glam shaming and all of that that didn't make it to air. Besides that, Annalise's bumper car trauma was discussed.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't make it to air. But, I mean, I think you guys got most of, like, the good, juicy parts of it, so.
Yeah. I was thinking we might get some Annalise stuff, but I guess they had to save time for
Crystal.
All of the promos at the end, ended up taking, like, 15 minutes.
Movie tie-in.
Yeah,
I'm like, guys, stop.
So we did see a little bit of the glam shaming being addressed. Do you think there was anything about it that you didn't get off your chest in what aired?
I mean, you guys saw on the show that it was really hard for me to get a word in. It was just everyone kind of, you know, talking over me. And for me, it wasn't just, like, I'm not trying to make glam shaming a huge thing. It just kind of became this thing. The words came out of my mouth, you know, like on the show. And really, that was the only way that I could describe what was happening or going on in that moment. But for me, I think it was just like what I wanted to address was that I don't feel like people, you know, give like everyone an equal opportunity. And that's basically the issue that I had on the show, especially, you know, with Ari. Like, I felt like there were so many times where he brought up, you know, like he brought up the compass and then he was like, oh, well, like, how long would it take you? I told him, like, you can ask me anything. And he was like, oh, like, how long would it take you to get ready for a hike?
That's and I was the like, one question
asking the hard-hitting question.
Yeah, you know, so I just felt like it was like, you know, why don't you just try to get to know me and, like, you know, like, and not be focused on this thing that happened. So, I mean, that's basically the premise of it all for me. I just want people, you know, to feel, I like people to feel included. I even, like, you know, on the show, you know, there were times where Crystal was getting ganged up on and I would say, hey, guys, just like let her talk and like let her, you know, say her piece. And so for me, it's like I hate if anyone, including myself, feels marginalized because of something as small as how they look or how they choose to present themselves to the world. So I think that was just the hard part for it for me throughout the whole thing. And I know how silly glam shaming probably sounds. But
gotta lean into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's just like, you know, that's, I mean, I at the end of the day, that's basically the premise of it for me is just that, like, let's be inclusive. Let's all build each other up. And especially as women in this time and age, that's what we should be doing. And that's not how I felt that situation went down.
Yeah. So. You know, I think that clarifies it a lot for me because obviously everything on the show is sort of memeified, and it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek, lighthearted moment over the credits. But, you know, you guys should, who are listening, should check out. Marieke has a really eloquent Instagram post about this, and clearly you were bringing in, you know, a history of feeling judged for the way that you present yourself. And I think that that probably resonates with a lot of people. And I think there is a lot of pressure, this dual pressure on women to, on the one hand, you know, do self-maintenance, present ourselves in a way that is conventionally attractive. And on the other hand, then we need to look natural and we shouldn't put effort into it. And it creates a situation where women are put in an impossible position.
And that's kind of a theme of The Bachelor, which didn't happen this season in this specific way, but it often happens where The Bachelor has a one-on-one that starts really early in the morning and he's like creeps into the girl's room at like 5 a.m. to see what they all look like without their makeup on. And it's so transparent that that's what that whole gimmick is about. And all the girls are like, oh, no, my retainer's in. Like, I'm not wearing eyeliner. And it's just such a – I always hate that scene when they do it because it's just the whole idea that men have that, like, wearing makeup is, like, a lie and that they should get to have the girl who looks like she's wearing makeup, but she never takes any time to get ready. And like,
it's this, it's like this impossible situation that you're put into. And it's actually funny because, like, I would get this from some of the girls in the house, you know, because, of course, when we would go on dates or cocktail parties or rose ceremonies, I'm in a gown. So it'd be weird if I showed up with, like, no makeup on, you know? but, like, some of the girls would say, walking around the house, I wouldn't have makeup on or in the morning in the kitchen. And they'd be like, oh, my God, I thought you were going to be so ugly without makeup. And you're actually really cute without makeup. And I was like, oh, like, OK, it's not that, you know, it's not that I feel like I'm hiding my face or anything. I mean, I have posts on Instagram without makeup on, you know, and it's just that, sometimes if that's the way you want to express yourself, then do it. And I don't like, you know, for example, like Becca has short hair and like, that's her choice, and I feel like that's so empowering. And whatever your choice is, be empowered and feel good in it. And I don't feel like, you know, there should be this backlash of how you choose to present yourself. If you want to, like, you know, dye your eyebrows pink and that makes you feel good, do it.
I actually really want to see that now. That seems like a good
I feel like that
look.
Would be in, like, some fashion spread and it would look real good.
Yeah.
You know, like, do it.
So let's dive in a little bit to our narrative of how this unfolded, which obviously we meet the girls who are going to be there. There are 18 women. Marique is one of them. Olivia, Jessica, Jenny, Lauren G, Lauren S, Annalise, Brittany T, Jenna, Ashley, Crystal, Jacqueline, Caroline, Bibiana, Chelsea, Becca M, CN, and Tia.
And usually we have the woman who gets kicked off in tonight's episode, but because they switched the order,
there's no fantasy suite
elimination before Women Tell All.
So
I don't even know where to start it was very hard to follow.
It really devolved very quickly into like a couple sort of clustery fuck conversations. Tia and Becca sort of have a little exchange about how Tia talked to Ari about Becca's age on their group date. And that conversation I really didn't enjoy. I felt like that was really uncomfortable.
Mm. And I really – so Tia and Becca M are actually two of my favorite women on the show. Like, I've really enjoyed both of them. And I just generally hate watching women yell at each other on TV. It's,
totally.
Like, very unpleasant as a viewer. It makes me feel kind of icky inside. You know, I enjoyed the latter half of the show where there were exchanges with Ari a lot more because it just and you know, I feel like a lot of this is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Marique, but that everyone is sort of riled up and kind of told to, like, make your point, get some time, and that comes
across.
There's
definitely a lot of emotions building up to that, you know, because a lot of us haven't seen each other since the taping of the show. You know, some time has passed, and we watch the episodes. And so, I mean, yeah, you know, for me, for example, Crystal, I had no idea that she was saying these things in her interviews. I don't think any of us did, and I think that's why we were all so just taken back by it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of emotions that are kind of just, like, at the surface, and they kind of just come up when you're –
In that environment,
yeah.
Have you kept in touch with anyone, like, during the airing of the show that you met?
Yeah, so we actually all have a group chat. So we chat, and the people that I'm probably the closest to post-show are, well, Mikkel and I live, like, 15 minutes away from each other.
Oh, that's so nice.
So, you know, we'll see each other. She'll come over to my house.
Oh, yeah, why wasn't she there at the tell-all?
I'm not sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised
like,
to see her.
Probably like seven women who aren't still on the show weren't there, mm-hmm. I guess. So
yeah. So yeah. They obviously can't have everyone on. So,
yeah.
But yeah, Sienna and I are really close. She's probably one of my besties from the show. Ashley and I are close. And, you know, I mean, overall, like, I feel like, you know, like, I'm in New York. I see Jacqueline when I'm here. Wherever I am, I kind of see the girls. So overall, I feel like, you know, most of us are friends and have stayed in touch since the show, so.
But there are things that you end up seeing unfold from filming that you didn't know about at the time, and it's like,
yeah,
reframes mm-hmm. how things played out in the house.
Yeah, and it's hard, too, because, you know, you want to try to separate yourself from that situation because it is in the past, and it is such a unique experience that you go through with these women that you just kind of automatically bond no matter what. But, yeah, it is hard sometimes to see someone, you know, saying, you know, calling you a see you next Tuesday. And
yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. I think I do want to say, like, Becca and Tia's
right.
conversation was that they have another conversation later that we'll also get to, which went better. But it seemed like Becca came in sort of prepared to clap back. But her prepared clapbacks were so cruel that it seemed disproportionate
to me.
She sort of says that she has been in love with men who treated her like a queen, and Tia's only been with men who treat her like shit. So Tia is the one who doesn't have enough experience to be in a relationship. I thought that was kind of victim blamey and hurtful. I understand that why Becca has every right to be upset with what Tia did, but that seemed below
the wrong way to respond. Yeah. Again, the later conversation felt productive, and this,
yeah.
It's just, yeah, you take away your own credibility, I think, when you hit someone in that way.
Yeah.
You know, having bad relationships in the past is not an indication of your worthiness for
totally.
Good relationships in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did feel like that was insensitive, and I remember thinking, I was shocked when I heard it come out of Becca's mouth, actually. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, experience is experience. And sometimes the harder experiences are the ones that lead you to grow the most. So, you know, maybe being with someone where things are perfect, you know, doesn't give you as much experience or growth or insight as being with someone where it was a harder relationship. So, yeah, I did feel like that was insensitive. And I could tell in that moment that it did hurt Tia's feelings because she was kind of speechless and she was kind of like, you know, like, what do I say back to that? Because, you know, that's kind of out of her control. So,
yeah, I don't think that there is a good response to that. At that point, it's like I felt like Becca kind of had the high ground a little bit because Tia was the one who talked about Becca to Ari and then Becca ceded it. So I'm like, okay, if I'm Tia, I'm not going to say anything now. There's nothing I can say that will make it better. But it is always just because in a lot of ways, Becca is very mature and empathetic. And then every now and then we'll just let loose with something like that where I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? She also then brings in Crystal, who wasn't even part of the conversation, and says Crystal is less prepared to be in a relationship than her. Like, it was just like, a bad start to the night.
You didn't need to go to any of those places to make your point.
And then Crystal takes the hot seat for some real Crystal time.
Did she ever once apologize during this time? There was such a lack of self-awareness displayed by everything she says. And, you know, I do have some empathy for her. I have empathy for being put in a situation like The Bachelor where people don't know how they're going to react. It's a very weird situation. And of course, in the moments, you know, you're being asked leading questions. You might make a joke that's then played very earnestly with weird music over it. You come off horribly. But at the end of the day, you need to own your shit a little bit. Yeah. And I did not feel like she did.
Yeah. I think that was kind of our biggest gripe with Crystal was that just own it. You know, maybe you said some really nasty things about us and we all saw it on national television. But just come on here and just say, you know what? I'm sorry. I was in a bad place. And I, you know, I like take accountability for that. And I think that's all we were really looking for from Crystal because I feel like that situation definitely brought out a side of Crystal that maybe she wasn't even aware of. I don't know that she's this awful person in real life. I don't think so. But obviously, you know, I only saw her in that isolated incident.
Yeah. It's hard to know. It's hard to know what people are like in real life compared to on the show, especially when we only see, even when you're there, there are things happening that you don't see. And then you see some of them later. We didn't see the full extent of that conversation that she had after the bowling date when she was in her bathrobe. We saw little clips of it.
I can't believe they didn't.
Earlier, and we saw more this time in which apparently she calls the other women C-words and she calls Ari
a needle dick.
A needle dick, like seven times.
Which is a hilarious insult. Like, where did that come from? Why was that the choice? Like,
and she called him a fancy pants.
She dates men. She doesn't date fancy pants.
Which I was like, I don't know. I kind of like fancy pants.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want a fancy pants, leave him for me.
I'll take him.
So funny. What was it like watching that clip? Because that hadn't been aired previously,
I don't think
right?
That wasn't aired. Yeah. And it probably wasn't bleeped for you guys.
It was not. I feel like I had a lot of, I wanted to laugh, to be honest. Yeah. I really did. But I didn't want to seem like I was disrespecting, you know, the whole thing. But
it was funny.
It was really funny. I really, like, when the whole fancy pants thing I thought was hilarious. And because, like, I mean, Ari does, you know, he wears, like, sweaters, sweater vests and stuff. And, like,
nothing wrong with that.
You know, like, so I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I think some people are more, uncensored than others. I feel like people are always like, you're very proper. Did you go to etiquette school? And it's like, I kind of, you know, think a lot before I say something. And Crystal seems to be someone that kind of just says whatever she's feeling. And I don't know that that's a bad thing. But when you're being mean.
And mean, yeah.
Yeah, then it can definitely be, it can come back to bite you in the ass. Yeah. So that's kind of what happened.
Part of me felt like that, you know, private moment of anger from her, quote private, was almost the most authentic moment we got from her.
Well, that's the thing that I think was so frustrating for women in the house and also watching, is that she performed this sort of winsome, guileless, childlike love for Ari. And then when you see what she's really feeling, it's like, I wish it was Peter and he's a fancy pants. And you're like, oh, there's just a huge gap between how you actually feel and how you are presenting yourself when you know that you're being filmed.
I think that often does not serve people well on this show. It is almost the worst thing you can do.
It's definitely, I mean, they caution us before. They're like, listen, don't try and pretend to be someone you're not, and don't come on here and do like an acting audition, because it's going to come through. And so definitely the people that seem real on the show are real. And I mean, obviously not everyone gets the full opportunity to present themselves, and that sucks. But I think, you know, the people, like, you know, Crystal got an opportunity to show who she was, and I feel like what she showed was not probably the wisest choice.
But apparently she just lost her voice for a month and a half, and there's nothing she could have done about that. That was a weird conversation. Who brought that up? Someone brought up
the sexy boy.
It was Olivia, maybe?
Yeah.
Who went home night one.
Yeah, brought up the fact that her voice was very
different
from how she did it on the show with Ari. And she said, well, yeah, I did. I lost my voice. And also, of course, I talked more gently to Ari. Of course.
He did like it. I think it was Becca M. was like, it's her sexy voice. Yeah. So it was a very charming moment.
We all know. And I mean, Caroline straight up calls her a sociopath. Caroline was very incensed. I had, like, forgotten about the conflict with Caroline and Tia and Crystal at this point in the season. But Caroline really didn't like Crystal, and she just took this opportunity to just lay into
Caroline
her.
Caroline had a lot of feelings.
She had a lot of feelings.
She also had a really good outfit on, like the white power suit. I was feeling it.
Well, I guess it was like, it was like her, I mean, business suit that she wore to Women Tell All, right?
Yeah, it was a power bitch outfit.
Yeah.
I liked it.
And a crop top.
I know. That is a look that I, you know, I'm very
that
into.
If you're a realtor, you need a lot of suits. That's the main thing. Is there anything else that happened with Crystal?
Before she talks to Ari, just the...
Oh, yeah. She does say that she... So her little brother that she talked about on the show... was living on the street in Venice, and he watched her on The Bachelor, heard how much it bothered her that he was that he was homeless, and so he is transitioning into
housing with her family,
housing,
she said, which was very sweet and heartening to hear.
I think that's, that's the thing with Crystal. I mean, there were moments in the house where, you know, she would try and open up. And I think she did a few times. But it's like, that's what I wish people would have seen. And I wish she would have been that way with all the girls. And not, you know, maybe you don't feel that connected to everyone in the house, but more of the girls. And even probably with Ari. And that's... What's the hardest part about it is that, you know, she would share some of these things about her family life and stuff, but then she would, and, you know, you would have a moment of connection with her, and then she would turn around and just act the same way again, where she was glazed over to your feelings. I do wish that people would have seen more of that side of Crystal, and I'm happy that her and her brother, you know, kind of fixing things for him, so.
Yeah, I think that was... Definitely the high point when she shared that with Ari in her time on the show. And we got to sort of understand her a little bit better and why she might feel really defensive around people and feel really protective of herself. But this just wasn't a good context for her. And I think she does apologize for not being able to see how she hurt the other women, which is a sort of tortured apology. But
she finally gets there. I assume she was up in that hot seat for a very long time. But
it felt
like it. A lot of it, you know, it's a mixed bag. I was glad we got at least a couple of moments that felt authentic. But her, I think, unfortunately, her default when she feels any sort of critique is to put herself in the position of, well, this is why it was hard for me, and I'm a victim in some capacity, rather than just saying, you know, the easiest way to shut down any conflict is to say, hey, you're right. I hear you. I'm sorry. And that kind of takes all the gas out of people's anger.
Yeah, it's actually a great defensive mechanism if you want people to stop being mad at you. And, like, they might not be ready yet, but they've got nothing left. So, sorry. Yeah, and I think it's in a roundabout way sort of educational to watch that kind of dynamic and identify those tendencies in yourself and be like, oh, that's why it drives people crazy when I do this in an argument. So thank you.
Yeah, if
Crystal.
You want to learn about yourself, go on The Bachelor.
I'm sure Seriously. Everyone on Twitter will tell you all the things that are both wrong and right about yourself. And we all know that everyone on Twitter is correct.
Yes. Which is confusing because they say contradictory things to each other all the time, but they're all right.
I was also glad we got a little bit of Bibiana during this time because after having watched her on Winter Games, I almost forgot about all the reasons that I really enjoyed her on your season of The Bachelor. So, you know, the return of Bibi. She had to film two reunion shows very close together.
She's
so that must have been a lot.
This is her full-time job now, just like us.
Just reflecting on her own emotions.
So CN takes the hot seat next. And she says that the day date in Tuscany was great and then the energy really changed at night, but it seemed like almost like a red herring, that weird thing that happened with Ari, because she's like, yeah, we wouldn't have ended up together, so there really isn't much to unpack.
And I always like when women kind of admit that, you know, get up there and say, hey, now that I've had some space from it and been able to see this play back, like, I recognize that this wasn't the relationship for me or for this guy, and so it was just a matter of when.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way about him and I, especially like, you know, my storyline centered around my storyline. I would want someone that was like digging deeper to get to know me. And there were definitely times where myself and other women felt that way, where he wasn't digging deeper to get to know us. And I think, you know, that was part of CN's, you know, story with him as well. So, I think, you know.
And I think also, like, when you talk about how he asked about how long it would take you to get ready for a hike and stuff like that, I feel like, well, for one, he never has any specific questions for the women. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, I can't ask her, tell me about yourself again, but I do know this one thing about her. But also, like, I often take forever to get ready. And one thing I love about my husband is that I'll be like, I'm sorry, I'm almost ready. And he's like, I don't care. I'm fine. Like, take as long as you need. That's what I need from from my partner, is to embrace that about me. Mm-hmm. And you deserve someone who's going to embrace everything about you. So clearly Ari was not that guy. So I really enjoyed that about CN's time in the hot seat. And often there's a lot of, I feel like, expectation that they'll talk about how heartbroken they are.
This was not that, which was nice. You can only have so much of that.
Yeah.
And I also liked that Chris brought up, you know, the comment that she had made about not growing up, not seeing girls who look like her being reflected in love stories, and gave her a bit more time to speak to that. Because I think that was one of those really important comments that Ari didn't really engage with, and that was frustrating as a viewer watching it. Mm-hmm. So I was glad we got to go back to it.
He seemed a little bit befuddled by it. He's like, what do you mean?
You're like, you sweet, sweet, rich white man.
Also, Chris asked CN how men typically handle the fact that she is so accomplished.
That was very weird.
And has all these amazing attributes. I thought that was a very weird question.
Yeah. Yes, she is very accomplished and beautiful, but just the way that he framed it was very odd.
Right. Like, if it were a man who was very accomplished and handsome, I don't think you would ever ask,
how do women deal with the fact that you
aren't they intimidated?
So good looking and also successful.
It's so hard to find a woman who will put up with such an educated man.
I think it's very isolating to her. And, you know, there are tons of women out there that are beautiful, successful, amazing in their own right. And I think for her it's awkward to be like, I went to a good school, I have a good job, I Sienna is one of my good friends and I think she's an amazing person. So to kind of put her in that place, it's like how do you answer that? And I think she handled it really well and just, you know, with
she
her
did.
Response.
She did
so.
Handle it really well. And it is sort of a weird insult to the other. Like, I look at Ari's group of women and you are a great group of women. Mm-hmm. Just like
very
the fact that he can put a label on CN as like the one who went to an Ivy League school. That's really such a small component of who a person is. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily mean that she is the one who is intimidating and accomplished. A lot of the women on the show were accomplished and awesome. So it does create this weird.
I feel like they just wanted
another storyline that was like, let's make a little thing out of how she went to Yale.
Right.
Like,
and CN seemed to resist that characterization, that pedestal, mm-hmm. which was just kind of was like, I think men should see it as a bonus. See everything about me as a bonus. And that was a good answer.
Everything about everyone is a bonus if you're looking at things the right way.
I love that. I was like, I shouldn't say it, but I really want to say it. But I do love that.
Yeah.
It's like Ari rubbed off on me.
Yeah. Listen, it's okay to say it sometimes. Just maybe try to mix it up with a couple other statements now and then.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with a lot more from Marique. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI. Becca takes the hot seat next. And talks about how frustrated she was about Tia's talking about her to Ari. She says she felt betrayed by someone that she thought was a close friend.
and that it was difficult that her relationship with Ari ended before it otherwise would have. And she has sort of a more mature, I thought, conversation with Tia this time mm-hmm. than she did the first time.
I think the two points about that exchange for me that stood out were, you know, I went into this whole experience saying I am not going to be that woman that talks about other women to Ari. And I stayed true to that throughout the experience. But being on the receiving end of that, it was hard. And, you know, ultimately it led to, you know, mine and Ari's relationship not, you know, that being our theme. And so I understand Becca's frustration about that because in the house, you know, unless you have a very explicit, you know, argument or, you know, whatever with someone, we're all kind of friends, right? We're all roommates. We all live together. We're all dating the same guy. And so it does feel like a betrayal, and I understand that part of it. But also I feel like some of the responsibility, most of the responsibility lies on Ari, and it's his decision and his, you know, like vetting process to go through to be able to discern, hey, you know, does this point actually matter or not? Because you saw that with his two-on-one with Kendall and Crystal and, you know, Crystal bringing up things about Kendall. But he was able to discern and say, no, you know what? I like Kendall and those XYZ things don't matter to me. So I do feel like I understand Becca's, you know, point of view and her feelings towards it. But I also feel like she should have kind of kept it in mind that it was Ari's decision and like his responsibility in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think it's pretty clear that he was going to make that decision based on her age because he had that reaction the first time she told him her age. And that was coming from him. And I'm sympathetic to that. She's right. There were other women on the show who were 23, 24, pretty close in age. But she also was pretty clear that she didn't really think she was going to get married soon. Like that she...
Or that she wasn't sure.
That she was more of a risk. And that's also on her. Like, that's fine. But
it's also Ari's prerogative to decide
Decide he wants something safer.
You know, he wants something different.
That's totally his prerogative.
And I think that's sort of the point they reach when the two of them were having a conversation later on. But, yeah, I think it's a tough position for everyone involved because age does play a role in the way that we view the world and the things that we're ready for. And that's not a negative, but it is a real thing. By the same token, I do think Becca, you know, is mature and thoughtful and generally very empathetic and obviously had a real connection with Ari. So, you know, those things can both be true at the same time.
Well, she told him her age in Tahoe on their one-on-one, and then he took her all the way to Italy, right? So I don't know that was maybe the thing that kind of – maybe it was. You know, I do know that, you know, like later on in the show, he does say that he wrestled with it a lot. But I don't think that was a thing that was like, you know – I mean, he kept her for so much longer after he knew.
I think that the age – definitely threw him back a bit. I think that also, like much like we see this with Kendall, he's going primarily with the people he's interested in, and he keeps pushing them to reciprocate and hoping to see it back. He never quite got the level of commitment and assurance from Becca that he hoped he would get. He kept saying, "You're young. I need to know that you are going to be ready for the life I want." And she couldn't really say that, which is fine, but
I mean, judging from what Ari has told me about what he wants out of his life, and this could be different from what he's told someone else, but he told me that he wants a quiet, simple life, and I'm not saying this in a bad way. I feel like Becca has a lot of life in her and that she wants to live it, which is fine.
I think that's great.
Both of those dynamics are okay, but it's just like, do they mesh? Do they
absolutely
fit?
Yeah.
Like, I'm more on the Ari side of that. I was, like, an elderly person, very young. And that's fine. I don't judge myself for that. But I'm not going to, you know, try to have a marriage with someone who wants to spend all their time, like, rock climbing and traveling and hanging out on marijuana farms because we would definitely
and
clash.
That's not fair to either party,
yeah.
right?
Right, exactly.
So everyone should get to have a relationship that makes them more themselves. And Becca does have to talk about her disappearance. And she did go, after she was kicked off the show, to a marijuana farm with her friends to hang out and camp for a while.
Fair enough.
Didn't have phone service.
Her mom freaked out.
When she was headed back, she called her mom and found out that her mom had reported her missing the night before.
I'm just confused as to how she didn't get taken off of the missing persons list.
Oh, like, clearly her mom just didn't bother
someone
to call
made
back.
A clerical error there.
I'm confused why her mom used a picture from when she was 15.
This is the best we have. Yeah. I mean, Becca has, like, a very active Instagram presence, mm-hmm. so there's definitely something yeah. better out no, there.
Like, also, what an amazing story, and I'm, you know, this is just really a blessing for all of yeah. us that this happened. And then her mother, who seemed lovely, got a moment in the sun with Chris Harrison on speakerphone. So yeah. everyone won.
And he said, just so you know, she might be missing for another few weeks this summer. So they're cast in paradise already. I can't think about
Shocker.
Any more Bachelor shows right now.
Yeah, I need a break.
And next, Tia gets the hot seat, which Chris refers to her send-off as one of the most gut-wrenching moments in Bachelor history.
He loves his superlatives.
I don't know if I agree with that, but probably the hardest goodbye of the show this season.
For sure.
She seems upset.
Got the conversation that positioned her as a potential candidate for Bachelorette, mm-hmm. you know, where they say, they really lean into how heartbroken she was. We saw her get emotional, which seemed very genuine. And then, of course, Chris asks the questions that are like, but are you ready to find love again?
And would you be open to it?
Do you still have a guard up? Could you let that guard down? It's like, yeah, it's always, we see this happen with a couple people towards the end of yeah. every season, because ABC likes to leave their options open.
I mean, yeah, we don't know who it is yet. So yeah. the options are open.
Race is on.
Yeah.
And finally, Ari comes out and he just seems to feel fine.
I felt like he had more personality and
yeah,
a little more
loosened
edge
up.
Yeah, during this than most of his season. And I found myself enjoying it.
Yeah. The bloopers, too. We saw more personality.
Yeah, I always feel that with the bloopers. Like, put more of these lighthearted moments into the show. And yeah. I know there's so much to get in, but, like,
apparently
I love it.
This thing where he messes up his line or, like, can't find the right word. And he uh-huh. goes, "Mer." Did you guys ever see that, like,
yeah.
during filming?
Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
I mean, I feel like he gets kind of nervous. So, you know, like he would be like giving his toast or giving his speech. And then he'd be like, oh, like, shoot, I messed that up. And then like we'd do it again. And it was like, I thought it was like fine. Like, I thought it was cute. Not everyone's a public speaker, you know. So.
Yeah, see, I find that kind of endearing.
Yeah.
It's more endearing to see the mess ups and the personality quirks.
It just like by the 17th time you've heard "mer" in a row, it sounds insane.
It
but
drills
I think
into
I
your brain.
I would find it kind of endearing.
I feel like that's like he like created the perfect sound for that. Situation,
really
right?
Is.
It's like, I feel like I want to do it now, but
I know. It really conveys that sense of not only have I run out of things to say, but I'm a real moron.
He's definitely, yeah, I don't, it's funny. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't get the fancy pants comment. but he's definitely, yeah, he's like kind of like a big nerd and like kind of goofy. And he says that. He owns it, so.
Yeah,
you know,
I just feel sad because those are things that I actually really love. And I think just the more I learn about Ari, the more convinced I am that I would like him so much more in person than I do watching him on TV.
I definitely like him more now that I'm not trying to date him. So
well, we always have that advantage when it comes to The Bachelors. But Ari really hasn't gotten a great cut this season. And he gets to really engage with some of the women here. He tells Tia just, you know, I felt like stronger toward Kendall. Sorry. He talks to Jacqueline. Jacqueline sort of defends him for saying that her PhD was an obstacle. And she thinks he was very supportive of her decision. And they have a very lovely conversation.
Yeah, he says that it was incredibly mature and brave for her to make the decision she did. And I thought that was a really lovely exchange.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he definitely has the ability to do that, you know, to be empathetic, to be, you know, I guess, like, observant of girls and, like, notice certain things about them and pick them out. But I think the hard thing for me was that I feel like he should have done that for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And not made it so, like, hard to talk or, you know, open up sometimes.
It does seem like he's not great at the kind of interaction in which he has to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Like, he would rather observe and see things or be told things or tell his own story and then have it,
Which is probably why he came off really charming on Emily's season, because he wasn't in the position to have to be initiating those conversations all the time.
And he didn't have to do it on Women Tell All, because it's a whole different prerogative for the show. So
I think that's probably why we probably didn't mesh, because I'm that way. I'm very observant. I like to take my time, figure out how I feel, and then, you know, ask a question or then say something. And it's hard when two people are
doing that.
It's like you're just sitting there and it's like, so what do you, you know, like, what are you thinking? Like, and it's awkward. So, yeah, I think I think that's, you know, part of the reason he was attracted to some of the girls with the bigger personalities in the beginning, because he was warming up, easing into his role. And, you know, I think as the season goes on, it's easier. So.
Yeah. There were the women who made more of that extroverted play definitely put him more at ease at the beginning. And he says Becca, for example, he said his heart was with Becca at the beginning.
Which one?
Becca M.
M.
And we don't hear anything about the other Becca.
Lauren and Kendall.
And Kendall.
Well, no, I guess Kendall gets mentioned, but Lauren and Becca don't get mentioned at all.
She says she wishes that he had more faith in her and not spent so much time grilling her on whether she was ready, but that he was right, that she was more of a risk. And he says, well, you know, I'm ready to settle down, so I needed to know. And he also says at this point that he would have done a lot differently if he could rewind the experience of being the Bachelor.
Which felt very telling.
And Caroline says, which parts, Ari?
He just says a lot of things.
And Caroline sort of takes the floor to say, this whole time you said you were here because you're trying to find a wife. I know what you did, and I don't know how you could do that, but I hope you found what you're looking for.
And he starts to say, you know, that'll play out in the weeks to come. And she cuts him off and says, I don't need you to respond. I just needed to say it. And it was like cold
AF. It was very chilly. And a lot of people thought Caroline would be a front runner at the beginning of the season. And instead, look at where we've been.
You know, she seems like a real defender of her friends. Clearly, I mean, that's how it struck me, that she's alluding to
and
whatever
see that earlier
the explosive
in the show
finale
too.
Is that Chris Harrison keeps teasing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We saw it when she was on the show as well.
And I think it was extremely infuriating for a lot of fans because she wasn't specific. But obviously, they wouldn't show her revealing that because it has to do with the final results.
I saw an interview with her, I think, on the red carpet from Women Tell All, where she said that she had gotten permission to make that comment.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, like, it doesn't really give anything away. And now everyone, I'm sure, is very excited to watch the finale.
I'm very excited.
Me too.
Same.
Can't wait. Crystal gets her turn, and she asks to join Ari on the couch, which is a power move.
I loved that.
I know. I mean, it really, I think it was.
It's very on brand for Crystal.
Very on brand for Crystal. I think it also maybe wasn't the wisest move, because once she was up there, it kind of opened the field up to this really quick back and forth that he was more prepared for than her. Mm-hmm. And she ended up, I think, kind of losing that interaction, to put it in a more competitive sense. But she tells him their goodbye felt cold to her.
Which,
and
yes.
It did. And he says, in a way, looking back now, I feel like it was pretty appropriate. And it sucks to see how you actually were compared to how you were with me. Maybe I dragged things on longer than I should have.
And that got a lot of cheers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was clearly very ready to knock Crystal back a little bit.
I mean, I would imagine he gave her a very long leash on the show and then seeing everything play back.
Yeah.
And he hadn't even seen. I love that she was sort of almost apologizing for the needle dick comment.
Yeah,
he hadn't
I was even say, seen she called it. Him a needle dick.
Yeah.
And he hadn't even seen that yet. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, God.
Well, she says, you know, she tries to defend herself by saying she was just very upset and it was clipped for the show. And he says, well, but it shows a real side of you. And she said, well, I felt like you were dangling a carrot and then you just took it away. And
I love her, like, I don't know, like her references, fancy pants, needle dick, dangling a carrot. Like, I just feel like these references are so amazing.
I know. She has a very colorful set of metaphors at her disposal. And she's like, I was just mad. I said things. We all just say things when we're mad. And Chris says he doesn't know about the needle dick comment. So now he does, presumably. And finally, Crystal says, I just want you to know that I was there for you. And he's like, whatever, basically. He's like, sure. Thanks.
You could just tell that he's like, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
This is over.
I mean, I'm glad he took the responsibility of, like, I drug this out longer than I should have.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's kind of what I said in my exit interview. I was like, you know, I hope he doesn't make the wrong choice and get his heart broken. As far as her, like, going up on the couch with him, I feel like that was – I feel like that's how the interactions should go. I think it's very – like weird to be sitting on the stage and then talking to him.
So much distance.
It's so much distance. And I think, you know, with The Bachelor, I feel like it's very, you know, there's a lead. He's the lead. But I mean, you're dating after all, and you really want to be able to connect with someone. And having that distance or having that role of like, you're the lead. And I feel like it can create some weirdness in the relationship or like, you know, like you're trying to form a relationship and you feel like all the power is one person has all the power. Mm-hmm. So I kind of liked that. I feel like she kind of took the power back and was like, hey, like I'm an equal and I can come and talk to you on the couch.
Yeah.
Even though I do agree, you know, the whole like exchange was not great for her.
I mean, what I think is interesting is they definitely seem to want to keep it moving along with these earlier women. They want it to be like, you can ask a question, but as long as we keep you over there, it's hard to get into a real back and forth exchange. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's not equal. It's not very empowering to the women. Mm-hmm. And then finally a woman gets up on the couch and she's the last woman who should really want to have an extended exchange because that goes really badly for her.
Because she called him a needle dick.
Yeah, right. Like there's just no way to salvage that. Some things just can't be unsaid. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I enjoyed watching it, so thank you, Crystal.
So did I. Thanks, Crystal.
I think Crystal kind of does and says some of the things that maybe, like, you know, some other people want to do or say or think. So, you know what? Like, I don't know. I feel like—
I don't remember. Were you on the bowling date?
I was.
You was. You were. So you were. You was. You were. So you were on the van on the— way back where she went on her
I wasn't.
Rant.
So I was on the other team, and so we went in a different van.
Oh.
So we had it. I hadn't really seen or heard what was really said.
There was no footage of that van ride.
No.
Which is so sad.
It's very sad. I wish, like, someone would have just, like, got it on their phone or something because
I can't believe it no been one interesting. Did.
Because I've heard, is it true that she went on a whole rant about how he wasn't Peter?
Hashtag not Peter.
Yeah.
I mean, so she says also on Women Tell All that she was talking with someone else who was also upset when we see that video of her through the window sort of calling Ari a needle dick. Was that – do you know if that was another contestant or was it a producer?
It was another contestant.
Mm.
That other person didn't seem – her level of upset.
I think she was just talking at them. Yeah. Like, it wasn't an exchange. I don't think the other person was chiming in and saying, yeah, he has a needle dick.
Yeah. His dick is so narrow. I mean, it's one of those things, too, is that she has no credibility because we have seen her make claims about conversations that we witnessed that are extremely misleading. So I don't have any reason now to believe the way she characterized that. But
to believe that he's a needle dick, or
to believe that there was another person talking to her who was also
affirming
what she was saying.
Oh, I mean, that's the thing. I feel like sometimes, like, she doesn't understand if someone is, like, affirming or not. Like, mm-hmm. I think in her mind, she's like, oh, they're listening to me, so they are affirming. But you're just actually just listening. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, yeah. I wasn't there, but I don't think that other person was affirming anything.
Yeah, that was my
Well, everyone
takeaway.
Else went on the date after that and seemed fine, so they managed that. And then we get to the bloopers, which we've sort of discussed. We also find out that Jenny told Ari he has no butt at all.
That was a really winning exchange, I thought.
I have to say, every exchange we see between them is so weird.
They have a very weird, or had a very weird relationship.
It seems very, like, little sisterly.
Yeah, it did
but with
not
a
seem
weird
romantic.
Sexual vibe. Like, no. It's like, what if I teased my brother, but in a sexual way, is what it feels like. It's very funny to watch.
Yeah, so Jenny actually had, well, it's actually really funny. So Jenny had, like, these, like, fake, like, bud pads that she brought. Just, like, as a joke. And then Lauren B. brought a – you guys saw it in the bloopers where they're dancing with them on.
I missed that. That's so funny.
Yeah, so they like, so they had brought, like, these fake butts. And so it, like, became a thing. Like, we would walk around and, like, wear it in the house and stuff. And, I mean, she did tell us, like, you know, before that rose ceremony, she was like, I told him he has a flat ass. So –
She should have brought the butt pads for him as a gift.
Yeah.
It also probably makes him more comfortable to sit down. Like, it's a multi-purpose gift. And we see Bibiana eating a huge burger.
That might have been my favorite moment of the whole night.
Me too.
What a hero.
Just because I really wanted it.
Also, how does one get...
You guys don't have In-N-Out in New York, right?
No. No, it's a West Coast
Shake Shack. It was In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Did they, like, go out to get that for her? Or were you all given In-N-Out that night?
Yeah. So yeah, sometimes we'd get stuff brought in, and it was In-N-Out that day. So.
That's a great day.
It was a good day. Yes.
She looks like she's having fun with it. And suddenly, we move into the promos, which I refuse to talk about in order to not play into this whole thing.
No, stop doing these really transparent, annoying movie tie-ins, ABC. Stop it.
Especially it's to promote a movie about parents trying to prevent their daughters from having consensual sex, which is weird. And
very weird.
Very not timely of the moment. Feels pretty retrograde. But I'm not going to say the name of the movie. Don't go see it. and we kind of end on that point. And tomorrow night, Fantasy Suites.
Right. And we the credits gets a really beautiful mashup of Ari just eating on screen.
Yeah.
I mean, on camera constantly, which was great.
Yeah.
That's actually funny. I asked one of the girls in the house because I never saw him eating. I was like, does he eat? And, like, what does he look like when he eats? Because, like, I feel like that makes a difference. I'm a big eater. So, like, I want someone that's
like, this guy has got to be a foodie a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was actually really happy to see that.
Yeah.
That he eats.
Yeah. He actually has eaten a lot on dates. It's become a running theme.
Well, Lauren S. was, you know, she had expressed, like, she was like, I feel like, you know, people were saying, like, oh, he eats on dates when he's not interested, but he was kind of just eating the whole time. So she was really happy to see that.
I think they cut it together that way to make it seem like he was really bored on the date. But it seems like he really goes after the food in every possible
I respect
context.
It. I really respect that.
We get, you know, sometimes there's really good food, and I don't know. You can't resist. Yeah. So
I wouldn't be able to. I'd be like, what? You've set this entire meal in front of me, and you don't want me
like
to eat it?
It's like dangling a carrot in front of me.
Yeah, that is the accurate metaphor.
It's like, I feel like you just dangled a carrot, and you just took it away. So looking back on this experience, are there any big takeaways for you?
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's definitely a learning experience. You learn a lot about yourself, and it's such a unique experience that I feel like, you know what, I'm grateful for in a sense, because I mean, there is heartache and things that come along, you know, obviously there's the social media stuff that comes along and some of it is really positive and great. And then some of it isn't. So, you know, with all of that being said, I do feel good about the experience. I feel like I made so many amazing friends. I feel like I gained a lot of like knowledge about myself. And, you know, being put into this unique situation, you don't have a phone. You're not with your friends and family. You are, you know, just kind of left to your own thoughts. And it really helps you collect them and you know, make something of them. Besides that, I mean, I think the hardest part for me has been, you know, going home. I kind of felt like I knew it was same as Sian. I knew it wasn't going to work out with Ari. I knew that, you know, he wasn't my guy, and that's okay. And I was, you know, still very grateful for the experience. But I think the hardest part for me was that I wanted to go on the show and, you know, find love, but also have America get to know me and represent a group of women, kind of like Sian did, and, you know, show people that interracial relationships are okay. Show people that, you know, no matter what you look like, how you choose to present yourself, you know, your age, it doesn't matter. You can find love and you're worthy of that. So I hope that, you know, I showcased that as much as I possibly could. I hope to continue to do that post-bachelor. And, you know, that's basically like all I can ask for is that people take away that message and, you know, girls out there and guys out there feel included and feel worthy and continue to like strive for whatever it may be. If that is that fairy tale love story or that job or going to Yale, you know, I feel like I hope that people, minorities and everyone else feels like I can do this. And I hope that that's what came across and continues to be, you know, my story. So
absolutely. Yeah. As Ari would say, I love that.
And that's, you know, one of the things that always is most frustrating about Women Tell All, but especially this season, is it is all often focused on the women fighting each other. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was such a great group of women, and you guys were so much fun to watch. Thanks. And do you think you would ever go on another Bachelor show?
I never say never, but like I said, it is definitely an emotional ride. So
You have to really mentally prepare yourself.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, whatever the future holds, I'm open for it.
And I do want to go back to just what you were touching on. Obviously, this show has received a lot of criticism for how whitewashed it traditionally is. Was that a consideration that you had when you decided to go on the show as a woman of color?
What do you mean, like consider?
Like, was that something that gave you pause, or was it something that you feel like you took, you know, had to take an extra beat to really think about?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I didn't watch much of the show before going on. So I watched half of Nick's season, which, you know, Rachel was one of the front runners.
Right.
And I kind of started watching where it was like, you know, they were going to hometowns and fantasy suites. And then after that, I watched Paradise and The Bachelorette, of course, where it was very diverse. So I actually feel like I had this skewed perception of it probably going into it. I had no
idea. That's really interesting.
And I feel like, you know, I definitely lost that innocence post show and kind of realizing, you know, the past seasons weren't as diverse. So, I mean, in retrospect, I do feel like that was, you know, something that I should have considered. But like I said, I had a different perception of what it was because I did see Nick have Rachel as, you know, one of his front runners and then Rachel being the Bachelorette. And then obviously her season was very diverse. The men were very diverse. And I felt like Bachelor in Paradise was also diverse because of Rachel's season. And I mean, not that I have a pause or that I have, you know, any like negative feeling toward it now. I do feel like it's going back to what I said. It's like that inclusiveness and feeling, you know, feeling comfortable, I guess, in that situation. I definitely have gotten a lot of girls reach out to me, and guys actually reach out to me and say, you know what, thank you so much for going on the show. I've never seen an Indian or Pakistani person on here before. And they're like, you know, it encourages me to be able to go and do a show like this. And I mean, that's all I can take away from it. And I hope that, you know, me going on there and being, I guess, naive to what it was, you know, I hope that it helps other people feel good to go on.
Well, it just goes to show really how starting those precedents is so important in mm-hmm. diversifying a show like The Bachelor. Like, it's, I think, must be very discouraging for people of color to have seen just these very whitewashed seasons with these sort of a tokenism, right, if there's any presence. But then when you get a season like Nick's and then Rachel's, it creates this sense of, like, this is a show for me too, and for not just for blonde white people.
Yes.
And that's really cool.
That is very cool. And I hope that we'll get to see you, you know, on our screens again. And either way, we hope to have you back on the podcast next
time
you're in
so
New York.
Fun. Yeah. I loved it. Back anytime. And in the meantime, where can people find you on social?
So my Instagram, Twitter are both at Maroos World. It's Maroos World. I have a Facebook, but I don't ever go on it.
Who does these days?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks again for being here.
Thank you
really
for having
fun.
Me. This was so fun.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Marique Mathias, and of course, our producer, Nick Offenberg.
If you haven't yet, remember to find Here to Make Friends on Apple Podcasts to subscribe and give us a rating. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. Please like us there. And it is a big week for us. Emma's book is coming out tomorrow. And if you haven't pre-ordered it, you can still pre-order it today, or you can just order it tomorrow. We're very excited. You can also find us both on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. Or, of course, you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about fantasy suites.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.